Hey everybody, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle when I drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Each week we take about 11 minutes, give or take, and talk about something that is plug and play we can put in our classroom today, or a tweak we can make that's really small that makes a big impact. And we record the podcast right here in bumper-to-bumper traffic outside of D.C. because I got about 11 minutes in the car to just kind of connect with everybody. Traffic is really bad. That's a good time to talk about what's on Twitter and what's on education blogs and what I'm reading in books. And as an instructional coach, my goal is to share information that's, you know, cross-content for any teacher of any course, any content area. And today we're talking about teachers pay teachers because it's the site-wide sale, and I'm sure that's going to be a point of conversation in some education circles down the line, so we have some thoughts on that. Before we get to the big one, though, let's talk about some housekeeping items. If you like what you're hearing, the podcast comes every Monday. Feel free to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app or leave a nice rating. It does help us get on that algorithm for other teachers to see it. If you want to message me, we can talk further on Twitter or on Voxer. You can hit me up. I'm at mehanedu. That's like my last name and like edu, like teaching. Or you can head to my website. I'm www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up about teaching and I want to change the game for my kids and for anybody who wants to do the same in their classroom. It's also the name of my book, Adrenaline Rush, about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. So let's talk. All right, today we're talking about teachers pay teachers, and I'm going to put a lot of words quote in quotes today because I'm of two minds about TPT, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about this site and its services and some of the goods and bads that can come from it. If you're not familiar, teachers pay teachers is, you know, and I'm like reading their online copy, quote, an online marketplace where teacher authors, and I'm going to put that in quotes, can share original, I'm going to put that in quotes, resources for other teachers to buy and sell and get use of. So, in theory, if you were teaching a unit on, I don't know, the Scarlet Letter, and you didn't have any resources, maybe you're a single teacher and you're the only person in your building to teach that content, or you're new to the building and you just needed a copy, they got it. Head to TPT, Teachers Pay Teachers, and run a search for Scarlet Letter, and you'll find worksheets, you'll find unit plans, you'll find viewing guides for the movie, you'll find turn and talk activities, presentation slides, PowerPoints, Prezi documents, graphic organizers, homeworks, quizzes, tests, whatever you want. It's pretty much like a giant teacher folder where other teachers are sharing their information. And for the price that you are willing to pay, you can have access to it. Now, price could be as cheap. I think some people price it about 10 cents a page for TPT. So if you're buying like a worksheet, you might get, you know, a stack of worksheets you can use for the whole unit for like a dollar. Or it could be something as ambitious as a whole unit or a whole curriculum or a whole, you know, semester's worth of stuff. And that could range from the, you know, the dozens of dollars to several hundred dollars. But again, if you're brand new to teaching a course and you don't have a curriculum bought and paid for by your district, and you need some sort of help or some sort of guide, these are posted, available on the web. And Teachers Pay Teachers is but one site that hosts them. The reason why we're talking about it this week is because this week Teachers Pay Teachers is doing their annual site-wide back-to-school sale, and most teacher authors, and I'm going to again use a lot of words in quotes here, are selling resources at a discount for 2 days in the middle of the week. And then they're able to, you know, have them, so people like stock up their carts like they're going back-to-school shopping, and okay, fine. I put a lot of words in quotes there, though, for a reason, because I say teacher authors, in quotes, share their own original resources, in quotes, because some of the people who are authoring for Teachers Pay Teachers are not actually teachers. It is like an online marketplace like eBay where anyone can sell anything, but I don't know if the people who I'm buying from are classroom teachers. All I can do is trust them when they say that they are. Now, it does have like a star rating system like Amazon or like eBay, which is good. So you can kind of see what other folks have said about these resources in the past or about these sellers in the past. You can put like a seller profile up and that's good. But because a lot of sellers don't want to be outed for creating their own resources for a number of reasons, they choose to go by like anonymous monikers. So it might be like, you know, Cool Cat Teaching or like, you know, Learning with Littles or something like that, or like The Littlest Library. So you're buying from an LLC that's not really an LLC with a sort of fake name, but you don't really know who the person behind it is, and so all you can do is sort of hazard a guess as you buy the resources. Now, reasons why teachers don't use their real name is, you know, there are many. The first being, if you work for a school who does not allow teachers to make money selling their curricular documents or their instructional plans. Let's say you work for, you know, Main Street Elementary School. Main Street Elementary might have a very rigid curriculum, and for whatever reason, they don't like their teachers deviating from that curriculum. So if you're making a side business selling curricular documents that are informed by the things that your county or Main Street USA school has paid for, understandably, the school would want to crack down on that. So for that reason, a teacher at Main Street School USA would have to post under a moniker that was like an alias in order to get their documents out into the world. Second reason why is because you might be embarrassed or ashamed. There's a lot of stigma around this idea that teachers should not make money for the selling of their resources, right? So if you're buying and selling things on the web, giving yourself an anonymous handle makes it impossible for people to trace it back to you unless they're really, really cagey or you're sloppy in your paper trail. So let's say you work at, you know, Blue Spruce Elementary School and you don't want everyone else in the building to get jealous that you are making tons of bucks selling, you know, Blue Spruce Elementary teaching resources. For those reasons, it would make sense that you would have a seller account that would be anonymous on TPT. Obviously, there's many other reasons for the sake of it feels safer sometimes to buy from Learning with Littles than it does for, like, Mr. Smith's English class, because who the heck is Mr. Smith, right? So for branding purposes, sometimes people do that, and they do make it a full-time career. Sometimes the people who are working on Teachers Pay Teachers are former teachers or retired teachers or stay-at-home moms and dads who are just raising kids and taking some time off from the teaching game. And that's great work if you can get it full-time. I mean, you're able to, you know, design at your own pace, at your own leisure, post up resources onto your website, and Teachers Pay Teachers takes a cut as you, they kind of like are your agents or your bookers. I don't know what the exact percentages are, but I know they have two models. The free account, they take more than 50% of what you post up there for the privilege of free hosting and access to your stuff. So TPT might get like 50, 60%, and then you get to take home the rest. Or you can do like the premium seller account, which is like $50 for the year or $100 for the year, whatever it is. And then they take a much smaller chunk of your commissions because you've paid them a flat rate. So the idea is that for the privilege of hosting, you know, you got to fish where the fish are. And because everyone's hosting on TPT, you're in there with the thick of it. They can make some money off of each of your sales, which is good business for everybody. But I also use in, you know, quotations, I said, teachers share their own original resources, things they've created for their own classrooms. And that's where it gets really hairy, because if you just pause this podcast right now and head to TPT right now, you can take a look for any number of trademarked things. Just search for the word Avengers, for example, or Harry Potter, or Lord of the Rings, or Fortnite, and you're going to find not just dozens, but hundreds, if not thousands, of hits on the website with tons of copyrighted material that is being used in people's presentations. So it might be like Avengers-themed math facts, where you have to help Tony Stark and his team, you know, beat back the bad guys, so Thanos is coming. So, like, there's a cut-paste version of pictures found right on the internet, and there it is Tony Stark helping to sell you on math facts. I'm pretty sure Marvel and Disney did not sign off on that, and I'm pretty sure they would not be okay with those things being used without their express permission, and that's a problem. And it's not just about stealing from well-known intellectual properties like Fortnite or Lord of the Rings. There's a lot of worksheets or activities on Teachers Pay Teachers that people are selling as, quote, original resources that they have, in fact, found or appropriated from elsewhere on the web and have just cut-paste and put their name on the top or put a nice little fancy font on the top or a new graphic on the top or a new logo and are passing off as their own. And that's where it gets really, really dicey. So, like, original resources you've created, maybe I have a worksheet about The Great Gatsby I use in my classroom, I make it available for someone on my website or for a colleague to share, and they're like, hey, that's cool. They put a sticker on the top that says Learning with Littles or, like, you know, Middle School Madness, and suddenly it's on a Teachers Pay Teachers website. And that's virtually untraceable because I would have to think to look for every resource I ever personally have created on an infinite number of sites, pages on Teachers Pay Teachers. And that's tough because then people are making money off of the work that other people have done. Now, we all know, as teaching goes, that great teachers are borrowing and sharing and stealing ideas from one another all the time. That's how we get to where we are today. Whether you got it from your textbook, McGraw-Hill, or whether you got it from a website, you know, like a smart book or an interactive notebook, all these ideas are coming from education conferences and fellow teachers, so there is nothing new under the sun. But some people get rankled about the idea of making money off of the hard work of others, and that makes perfect sense. That said, there are some really good teachers who are making this as a side job for their family, making some money, by selling original quality resources, aligning questions to like common core state standards and learning objectives, creating rich repositories of interactive worksheets or interactive notebooks with detailed lesson plans and walkthroughs of unit plans with essential questions and things like that. And they're doing that on their own time because when they walked into their own school, they had to do that as part of their job outside of school just in order to move the needle forward, because they weren't given that material from their admin team or from their teaching team. Now, people will argue, it's not fair to get paid twice because the work you're doing is for your kids in your classroom. And for that reason, you should just take that as part of your job, just like going to professional development as part of your job. And you should not have a chance to double dip and get paid twice for it. You're already getting paid by your school, so don't do that stuff on the side as well. But then I guess the counter argument to that is, well, look, my school hours, I work for my school 40 hours a week, and then more on top of that for grading. The lesson planning I choose to do to create resources that my kids will engage with, my kids will get use out of them, but it's up to me to make those things creative and engaging. Why should it sit on a shelf and only be used once a year every time I teach that unit on The Great Gatsby, right? And then if it's going to just sit and collect dust, why don't I collect a few bucks on that? And so people do take original resources with original content, brand new, royalty-free images and all that stuff that they've paid for themselves, and they say, I'm going to make a little bit of money on that. Because someone is going to make money on teaching resources for The Great Gatsby or The Scarlet Letter or The Civil War. Why should it always be McGraw-Hill or the publishing companies? Why should it be Scholastic Press? Because the truth is, publishing companies are out to publish textbooks, right? They publish the first one, and then the next edition is right there behind it. They're working on the second as soon as they publish the first. So their goal is always to sell more books. If you, a working teacher in the classroom, have the ability to develop and share your own resources and say, hey, this is what worked for my class, maybe there's benefits to that. Now, I do think you should never buy something offline or click something on offline and plug and play it in your classroom without checking it. Certainly, all teaching is relational, and you have to know what you're using before you drop it cold into your classroom. But that said, if you've put in the work to develop a quality resource, you know what? I'm of a mindset that if people are willing and able to pay for that, and you really did develop it yourself, I would rather that money go to a teacher than to a big textbook company, especially if that teacher just worked their tail off and done a really good job with it. All that said, I do understand that there is criticism on both sides, because we believe that everything in the education field should be borrowed and shared and freely traded between one another. And I try to live that way on my own Twitter page and my website. I try to give all my resources away, as many as I can develop and push out for free. But that said, there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who will never find my Twitter page or my website. And the question, I guess, then becomes, if you have a great resource that can be a major impact and you're willing to share it with people, there are people who will connect with you, and they've invested their time in a Twitter relationship or a blog, so like they're already working with you in some capacity. And then there's thousands and thousands of strangers who will never, never find your website. So if your goal is to get the resource into the hands of classrooms, well, you could do that for a fee, right? And that's what a lot of education bloggers do, and a lot of education keynote speakers, and certainly authors, right? I have a book. I'd gladly share all the information for free. Come talk to me. I'd love to do that. But my time is worth something. My family's time is worth something. And if it's going to take me 17 hours to explain my classroom pedagogy, well, I have a book, and you could just buy that. I'm happy to talk for months, for years on Twitter and like strike up conversations. But at a certain point, if there's only so many hours in the day, I can't have those conversations in depth with every single person. And so sharing resources in a bound format, yeah, there may be a benefit to that too. Anyways, this week is TPT's back to school sale, and I'm sure you'll see it buzzing all over the internet. So, interested to hear your thoughts about it this week. Feel free to message me. I'm at @mehanedu. Would love to hear your thoughts about Teachers Pay Teachers in general, any good things or bad things you found on there, and ways you've used it or avoided it in your classroom. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll be back next Monday with more.